You are Locked On Vikings, your daily Minnesota Vikings podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome in, everybody, to another Tuesday here on the Locked On Vikings podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every single gosh darn day. I am your host, your pal, and the kid you copied off in math class. My name is Luke Braun. You can find me on Twitter at Luke Braun NFL. You can find the show on Twitter at Locked On Vikings. Today's episode is Twitter Tuesday. That means I took all of your questions. If you want to ask questions, by the way, you can always email them to lockedonvikingspodcast@gmail.com. There is a link in the show notes. If you want to just fill out the Google form, you can ask me on in the Discord community, which you can also find on the show notes. You can always send them to me on Twitter and ask them anytime. I put out a prompt on Mondays, but you can always ask me whenever if you want to get in on these Twitter Tuesday questions. And so let's get started here. The first one comes from Swamp Sparrow, who posted an interesting Peter King trade proposal, which is summed up by Nick Olson really well in a tweet. I'll link that in the show notes if you want to check it out for yourself. But roughly here it is. The 49ers get Kirk Cousins. It's a three-way trade. Texans get Jimmy Garoppolo. First-round pick from the 49ers. They get Anthony Barr, Alexander Mattison, our first-round pick in 2021, a 2023 first, so 2 years from now, and second-rounders in each of the next 2 years, and the Vikings get Deshaun Watson. So it's basically a give up everything for Deshaun Watson trade. So what the Vikings are giving up is Kirk, two firsts, two seconds, Anthony Barr, and Alexander Mattison. Now, a lot of those draft picks are deferred, so it's not quite as bad as it looks. Like, the Vikings still have a first round pick in 2022, for example, in this particular trade, so they're not completely screwed, but it's still a pretty steep price, right? Two firsts, 2 seconds of this trade, Swamp Sparrow asks. I was wondering why on earth anyone would suggest such a stupid trade. Would Deshaun be that much better than having Kirk plus two firsts, plus 2 seconds, plus Barr, plus Mattison? Of course, the answer is no, he says. So really, my actual question is, why doesn't Peter King just retire already? Be nice, come on. So here's the thing. A, I don't think that that's as steep a price as it looks because of how deferred those draft picks are. Trading picks 2 years down the road, that's not going to kick in for a while, and you're going to get a nice window with Deshaun Watson before the cost of that kicks in to set up to kind of absorb that cost, and it's not going to hurt as bad as you think. That's not to say the price isn't very steep, but that's the price for Deshaun Watson. It's two firsts, 2 seconds, and two players. That's the way that Houston has kind of laid things out, or at least that's the reported way that Houston is laying things out. Two firsts, 2 seconds, two players. That's what we need. Now, the Vikings here are giving up two firsts, 2 seconds, and three players. Two and a half, because Alexander Mattison doesn't count for much, I don't think, in this. So that is, I guess, the way that Peter King is putting it together. Now, I think in this particular trade, I think Peter King has overestimated what the Vikings would have to give and underestimated what the Niners would have to give. The Niners, I think, are getting away with robbery a little bit here. They're going a first rounder for and Jimmy Garoppolo for Kirk Cousins. And, both of the things that the Niners give up don't go to the Vikings. So I do think the Vikings are getting a little bit robbed in this trade. And I think if the Niners put up one of the second round picks, maybe, then I think that it would, like, if they put up their 2023 second round pick and we changed it that way, I think this becomes a much more amicable trade. But I think the idea is, I think a lot of people would say yes, that Kirk Cousins is that, like, there is that much of a gap between Deshaun Watson and Kirk Cousins. If you're not sold on Deshaun Watson, by the way, go listen to Locked On NFL today. It was me and Ross Jackson. We do Tuesdays on Locked On NFL. We had Sosa on. He does Locked On Rams. He is a PFF fantasy guy, and he broke down some Deshaun Watson stuff from the QB annual. We talked about Deshaun Watson. Deshaun Watson is really, really good. I don't think saying that there is a gap between Kirk Cousins and Deshaun Watson is much of an insult to Kirk Cousins. Deshaun Watson is just really good. And I think Deshaun Watson, even with the lack of draft picks that you would get in the future, Deshaun Watson just showing up to this roster as it stands right now would be really good. And I think the real thing that I'm hesitating to part with here is Anthony Barr, but even that has some cap implications and stuff, and you're getting a lot of value back, and I think it's, like, obviously worth it, but that, you know, you're going to have to figure out what kind of how to plan a lot of things differently on your defense that were planned around Anthony Barr and obviously worked horribly without him in 2020. But the next question comes from Professor Kirk Cousins. Buddy, why are you listening to the show, man? Go practice. He said, explain the salary cap outcomes if the Peter King trade were to go through. Also, Kirk, you should know this, my man. So this is, I think, part of why I I think the Vikings are maybe a little bit less getting robbed less than I think everybody is saying. I think they're only getting robbed a little is because they save a lot of cap on this. If you just traded Kirk Cousins for Deshaun Watson straight up, the money would come out about even with the way that Deshaun Watson's dead cap accelerates, the way that Kirk Cousins' dead cap accelerates. I think because of the way that Watson's contract is structured, where most of his cap hit for the Texans in 2021 is in like bonus and stuff, he only has like a $10 million base salary this year. And the real base salary kicks in later, but all that signing bonus stays with the Texans. And the same thing with a lot of a pretty sizable chunk of Cousins' money. So you swap that, the Vikings take on $10 million of Deshaun Watson's base salary, and they save net about $11 million from getting rid of Kirk Cousins' contract after you factor in the dead cap penalties there. So the Vikings actually save $1 million in cap. Then they get rid of Anthony Barr, that saves them like $7.5 million. They get rid of Alexander Mattison, which is a little bit of a chunk. So they actually come out like $8 or $9 million ahead in cap if they were to do that trade. And obviously, you know, the real value is in the draft picks, but that is something that would be part of it as well. I just personally, I think this trade really overvalues how good Jimmy Garoppolo is. I think the 49ers slam the yes button. I think the Houston Texans probably slam the no button on this one. And I don't really know what the Vikings do. I think it's the closest for them, but I still think I would lean that they would slam the no button on that particular trade. I don't think it is constructed to favor the Vikings very much. Bird Fry says, favorite podcast, not Vikings related. Mine is Crime in Sports. I'll have to check that one out. Personally, I like Arif Hassan, who does Viking stuff. He has a political podcast called Wide Left. I'm a fan of that. I like the McElroy brothers. They're really big. If you haven't heard of them, if you're a Dungeons & Dragons fan, definitely listen to The Adventure Zone. That got me into Dungeons & Dragons. I love their My Brother and Me podcast is very good. In fact, my opening line, your host, your pal, and the Katie Kopitoff in math class. The reason I say your pal is a little homage to Griffin McElroy, who I'm a big fan of, and I actually take a lot of inspiration from in terms of just like his style and his vibe and the way it seems like he never takes anything too seriously. And I think that's really wholesome. And on the Adventure Zone podcast, he would always say, I'm your dungeon master, your pal. And then he would have some weird bit, but the your pal thing, I don't know, it kind of stuck in my brain. And I thought it would be a nice homage to kind of have that be part of my tagline. It's actually the same deal at the end of every show. And I say, and as always, Skull, that is an homage to Vsauce, which is a YouTuber science thing that I also take a lot of inspiration from. Vsauce is kind of the reason I do some of the weirder episodes, like with the shipwreck and the strawberry from yesterday, because I think the way that he accidentally educates people is really, really cool, and I really think he makes it fun, and I like kind of try to emulate that to some way. And he ends every video with, and as always, thanks for watching. So I say, and always, Skull. It's a little homage to the people who influenced the way that I make content. We got a lot more questions coming, but first I want to talk to you about gambling. You can actually bet on some futures right now. The NFC North, the favorite for the NFC North in 2021 is the Packers at minus 200, which probably means if you believe in the Vikings next year, and I think as we get closer to next year, I'm going to give you some reasons to believe in the Vikings. I'm going to be drinking the Kool-Aid for sure. And if you believe in it, you could probably get in at some good value right now at betonline.ag. BetOnline is the best place to make sure you get your gambling in. They have not only football futures and stuff, but they have NBA, college football, college basketball, all sorts of things. You can bet on whatever. They even have like reality TV and stuff. If you want to bet on stuff like that, you can go get all of your degeneracy out of your system. Go on over to betonline.ag. You can sign up on your computer, on your mobile device, and just make sure that when you sign up, you do your first deposit. In the promo code section, enter Locked On. Promo code Locked On, all one word. It'll give you a 50% welcome bonus. That means for every $100 you deposit, that is $50 of free money to play with. That's betonline.ag, promo code Locked On. February is Black History Month, and the Locked On Podcast Network is honoring the challenges and successes of Black men and women in sports with a new series called Locked On Presents More Than the Game. This week, Candace Cooper of Locked On Tar Heels and my good buddy Ross Jackson, who I do Locked On NFL with, he does Locked On Saints, will discuss holding space and the balance of discussing blackness in sports. Subscribe to the Locked On Presents podcast feed on the radio.com app or wherever you find your favorite podcasts. Josh S. asks, in the Spielman regime, what would you consider his biggest hits and his biggest misses in free agency? So for Spielman regime, I am going to go 2012 and onward. I think anything that happened before 2011 is kind of irrelevant with the new CBA anyways. And that was when they reorganized from the triangle authority nonsense to give Rick Spielman full control. And suddenly the team was run a lot better. I think that is not a coincidence. And in that regime, so John Carlson was a huge whiff. That was like one of the first ones he did, gave him a huge contract, was terrible to get out of it. I think there have been some extensions that are really bad. Like the Brandon Fusco extension was a huge whiff. It's hard for me to think of guys. Alex Boone was a really bad one because they changed the scheme like a year after they got him, and then he wasn't a scheme fit anymore. And suddenly, you know, they had to like take a huge dead cap hit when he got beat out by Nick Easton, which is hilarious because he was the best lineman on that 2016 line. But I don't know, that's being the king of Poop Mountain, right? But like on the whole, he hasn't been very aggressive in free agency, so there aren't a lot of like things that could be hits or misses. In terms of hits, though, it's got to be Linval Joseph, right? Linval Joseph was an absolute slam dunk. Obviously, it was a great part of this, you know, these all-time great defenses for a long time. Often was like pretty cheap too for the first few years of that contract, and even when he signed his extension, he didn't get super expensive until the Vikings had the option to cut him, and he was old, and then they did that. I think that was a masterfully navigated situation with Linval Joseph, and had a huge impact on the defense. Captain Munnerlyn from the same offseason. But I think if you really wanted to evaluate Rick Spielman in total and on the axis that Rick Spielman is like kind of trying to be evaluated, it's got to be the extension or, you know, the extend or don't extend decisions, right? Extend Kirk Cousins. That's a really interesting thing that I'm not a huge fan of. You know, extend Everson Griffin, absolute slam dunk. Extend Brandon Fusco, not a great one. And the way the Vikings operate, like a lot more money goes toward extending people in-house rather than going and getting outside free agents. So that is also like a totally different facet to this. George asks, I know this past season's struggles at the beginning were in part because of the inability to prepare without a preseason. How do the Vikings avoid this moving forward? I think part of the early season woes were due to lack of preparation and the fact that several rookies played a significant amount of snaps. Do you think that will change this season? I'm kind of worried about this. I'm like actually really concerned. They did a really bad job at navigating the idea of not having a preseason. Everybody was not ready until about week 4 or 5. And then suddenly they could play like a real team by week 4 against the Texans, week 5 against the Seahawks. They got blown out by Atlanta because Kirk had a brain fart game. But like that was when they kind of started to look like a real football team again. And the first two games, they just couldn't like operate at all. And I'm like really worried about that happening again. You know, you have a first time offensive coordinator. How is he going to do things without a couple of trial runs? Not, you know, with the preseason, you're going to have to rely on rookies again. I am very concerned about this. The way around it, I think, is just to be a little bit smarter about how you allocate a lot of limited time. I think they spent a lot of time kind of installing core concepts with rookies, and hopefully you won't have to do as much of that on offense. You'll probably have to do a lot of that on defense, but it's also, I think, in free agency, they just have to be less willing to rely on a day one rookie. They really just kind of waltzed into the season knowing that at least one, maybe two rookies would be starting at cornerback, and that blew up in their face, rightfully so. And I think they just have to not rely on that again and not think that, not even knowing what their preseason was going to be, they have to not think that they can get those guys ready by day one. I think that there was too much hubris to that. Kurt asks, which Vikings player would be most devastating in the FCF, the fan-controlled football league, which I will link in the show notes. It is on Twitch TV. It is very fun. It's basically arena football, and the fans get to vote on the play calls. So there's no play caller. The plays are called by fan vote, and it's 7-on-7 arena ball. Really a good time in this stupid off-season lull. You should all check it out. And Kurt gave three options, and he said you could add more if you want, but Hunter, Cook, or Cousins. I have to think Cousins, because Cousins has a deep ball and can like beat corners, and there's no defense in this league. The corners are really, really bad in this league, and I feel like Cousins can punish that really bad. Although I do think Hunter would like forklift people and wreak a lot of havoc. So if you thought Hunter, I would not argue with you at all. Landon Renly asks, how often do you think teams spread false or bad info about the players to try to get them to fall in the draft, presumably so they can draft the player? I have no idea. And I think about this a lot. So there's like the Laramie Tunsil thing, right? The famous thing, Laramie Tunsil was supposed to go first overall at a certain point, looking at the 2016 draft. And he didn't. He went 13 because of that famous video of him like ripping a bong that ended up leaking. And a lot of people thought, did the Dolphins do that so that they could get him at 13? Because like, I think two tackles went above him on that. I think Jack Conklin and Ronnie Stanley both went above him on that draft board, which was insane at the time. He was like absolutely the number one prospect. And then the Dolphins end up getting Laremy Tunsil. But it turned out that that was like a scorned stepdad that like wanted money. There was this whole thing. If you remember all the Ole Miss stuff with Hugh Freeze and all that stuff, it was like this crazy symptom of this other thing. And he ended up losing a lot of money until he got another contract, got traded to the Texans. And now he's thriving. But my instinct in all of these sorts of situations is to kind of default to assuming incompetence before I assume malice. I think teams are just dumb and they only get like 15 minutes to get to know these guys, and then they make like assessments about their manliness. Like, I think they're just wrong about that all the time, and then that separate like spreads in league circles, and you know, scout buddies talks to scout buddy. Even if they're scouts for different teams, like they're friends, they just talk. So I think they might just be like dumb and not evil, but I like wouldn't bat an eye if I turned out to be wrong about that. But you never want to be wrong when it comes to your car. Let's go. Yes, nailed it. RockAuto.com is a great place for you to get anything you need for your car. It is winter, it is cold outside, it is snowy, and especially in spring, this is when it gets like really dangerous as things start to thaw a little bit and then they like freeze again overnight and you get like black ice. Do not get caught on the side of the road without being prepared for it. Now, I know some of my listeners are also in Texas. I hope you are all staying safe, or places that are getting snow for the very first time. You might need a brush to brush off your windshield or chip some of the ice off of your windshield if it like rains and then that rain freezes. That is something Minnesotans are very familiar with. But if you're in the South getting snow and you haven't had that, you might need that. And if you want to go get it, go to rockauto.com where you can save a buck, because they don't give different prices for their retail customers or their wholesale buyers. All the same price, and that means you get to save a buck. That's rockauto.com. And in the how you heard about us section, let them know that Locked On sent you, because if you don't, I'm going to have to escape this motel room. There are footsteps down the hallway that sound really suspicious, like they're trying to be sneaky, but they're not being good enough at being sneaky, like they're carrying something heavy, like some sort of blunt object. And I'm getting a little scared. I might have to jump out the window and maybe run across the street to another motel, but hopefully I didn't leave any traces in the sink when I dyed my hair. Otherwise, the jig is completely up. Rock Auto, amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need at rockauto.com. NFL analyst Brian Peacock and former NFL scout Matt Williamson host Locked On's Peacock and Williamson every Monday through Friday. Brian and Matt give you the national perspective all around the NFL, covering all the latest news and insight on every game, team, and move around the NFL. Get your picks, previews, and much more every weekday with the Peacock and Williamson podcast, part of Locked On Podcast Network. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. So I'm going to sneak in as many of these as I possibly can. Sorry if I didn't get to yours. This next one comes from Matt Anderson, my good buddy, who says, what do you think of the Wolves dismissing Ryan Sanders? I cannot be trusted to have basketball takes, but Ben Beacon with Locked On Wolves, which is a Timberwolves podcast just like this one every single day, will have everything you need for that. Go listen to that. Go listen to Locked On NBA. There is a whole Locked On NBA machine just like there's an NFL one. Matthias sent a few questions, but this is the one I'm going to answer. Says, Reef was his whole career a solid average tackle. Now, after one good, not great season, why is everyone so keen on bringing him back? I get the consistency factor, but he's not young, and past performance doesn't really suggest that he will be good again, right? And extending an old average tackle isn't ideal if you could sign two average guards for the money and kick Cleveland back to his natural position. Might be financially more responsible, maybe even without a drop-off. So if you could guarantee me that the money from Riley Reiff went to a good left guard and a good right guard, I would agree with you. I think obviously that's better, right, than having a good left tackle, no guards, and, you know, a left tackle that's playing out of position, if you could guarantee it. But there's a huge risk factor to that, right? What if they go get somebody who sucks again? Or what if they evaluate everybody correctly, but they get outbid for the players they actually want and they end up having to settle? And how does that affect your draft strategy, right? So I think you might be looking at a range of scenarios that you would expose yourself to if you went that path, and you're only considering the best one, which I think is dangerous. It's a little bit risky. There's a little bit of hubris to that. And I also think you're too low on Riley Reiff. I think I'm higher on Riley Reiff than you. I don't think solid average is fair. I think he has been an above average solid tackle. And that's a very valuable thing to have. So I would completely be at peace if they wanted to stick around with that. But if I were to adopt your opinion of Riley Reiff that he's only average, and that's totally valid, if I were to adopt that, then I definitely see where you're coming from. You just have to be okay with exposing yourself to the risk of getting even worse on the offensive line. You're not guaranteed to get the best scenario if you go do that or ruining the draft. And now suddenly Devonta Smith is on the board, but you have to take a guard because you don't have, or you have to take a tackle because you didn't figure it out in free agency because Jacksonville outbid you on all the guys. There's a lot of risks that you don't necessarily have control over. Maskolkist, I love that, says, will Kirk get sacked more or less than 39 times next season? So 39 was his 2020 total. I think, can I say push? I don't know. Like, I just don't have a lot of faith that the offensive line ever gets better. I actually have a really, really angry article about this coming out on Zone Coverage. So, and I don't think that Kirk is going to like get better at taking less sacks. I think the deep passing and all that stuff, I don't think they're going to back off that. I don't know if they should back off that. So I'll go with less, because I feel like they are pretty likely to get somebody better than Dakota Dozier, at least likely enough. So I'll go with less, but I'm not very, very like sure about that. Forrester says, what makes you think Kirk is more tradable in 2022 than 2021? So this is from a conversation we were having on Discord in the Q&A chat, where you can ask questions for Twitter Tuesday. Again, link for that in the show notes, where we were talking about the tradability of Kirk Cousins. So I do think that in 2022, he's a better trade asset than he is in 2021. And that's because a single year of Kirk Cousins at $35 million in 2022 is just a really attractive thing. I just feel like teams are going to really like that. Versus he is 2021 and you are guaranteed to have him next year, there's less flexibility to that. If you trade for Kirk Cousins right now, it's like the Lions and Jared Goff. You have to play Kirk Cousins. You have no choice but to play Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins will start somewhere in 2021 and in 2022. He just will. That is, it might not be the Vikings if they trade him or whatever, but nobody is going to trade him and bench him for a rookie or something like that. So right now, you basically have to agree, I don't want to be in the quarterback market this year or next year, and I want Kirk Cousins to be my guy. Now, I still think that's a pretty tradable thing. I think there are teams that would be interested in it. It sounds like there are teams that are interested in it. They're just not offering enough for the Vikings to bite. But I think in 2022, you get that flexibility where it's, yeah, I'm getting Kirk Cousins. I get to give him a chance. I get an exclusive negotiating window. It's only a $35 million cap hit for the team that actually takes on his contract. And I just think that feels like something that teams will be a little bit more into than him on a two-year. If they want Kirk on a two-year deal, they can wait till next year and then make a two-year deal if they really want to. But you would imagine a team trading for Kirk Cousins would also want to extend him. And I just think that that looks better next year than it does this year, with next year on the horizon. Last one for today. Sorry if I didn't get to yours. Comes from Alex Cosey, who says, what's the bold prediction about this Vikings offseason you're the most confident in? For example, in one of the latest episodes of Purple Insider, they mentioned a possible Danielle Hunter trade is something we should talk about more. I'm going to go off of what like Courtney Cronin said when she came on this podcast talking about the Danielle Hunter thing, and what Chad Graff has said, that it is pretty unlikely that Danielle Hunter ends up getting traded. It would have to be kind of a blow me away package. And he probably plays here in 2021. And then we talk about the contract after he proves that his like injury is bad. If I were Danielle Hunter, I also probably wouldn't want this to be the time I get my extension. I would want to like go play a healthy season and then get my extension. You get a little bit more money that way. And I think that is an amicable thing that both parties can eventually arrive at if they have to end up having to talk about it. But for the, what is my bold prediction? So I don't really talk about this take enough, but I think the worst thing about the Kirk Cousins era is that it took the Vikings out of the quarterback market. In 2018, these opportunities to get Dak Prescott, there's an opportunity to get Tom Brady, the wild trade year. And I think I said it recently on a show, but I think I want to drive it home. The 2020 Kirk Cousins extension might be the worst thing Rick Spielman has done. I really, really, really hated that move. And I didn't talk about it a lot because I had kind of already made my peace with it, because I knew it was going to, like, it was very obvious that it was going to happen. So when it happened, I was like, all right, here we go, I guess. But I really don't think they should have done it. For one, it spurred Stephon Diggs to make the tweet that ended up getting him shipped out of town. So it cost you Stephon Diggs in a very roundabout way. But it also like took you out of a quarterback market. And I don't like being in the quarterback market in a vacuum. I think that there's a lot of risk to that, right? You don't want to be like the Jets, where you're looking for a new quarterback every 3 years and you grind your franchise to a nub and nobody wants to play for you because you perennially suck because you can't find a quarterback because you miss on one every 3 years. You don't want to be that. But since 2017, we've had like a much crazier run of quarterbacks. You know, we've had the Mahomes, we've had Josh Allen, Mark Jackson, Baker Mayfield. Last year brought us like Kyler Murray. We've had this crazy free agency. You had opportunities to get Dak or Tom Brady if you wanted to. There have been, you know, when we signed Kirk Cousins in 2018, there was this big line of, a guy like Cousins just doesn't come along every year in free agency. And I don't think that's true anymore. And I think the 2020 extension kind of doubled down on logic that was really proven false. And I think the Vikings on the whole would probably have been better if they didn't extend him. They just let him play out 2020. We could be talking about maybe extending him this year, and it would be a difficult discussion, but you could also say, hey, maybe we, you know, find a way to, maybe we do a tag and trade with Dak Prescott or something. You know, I think their options would have been more open if they didn't do that extension, and they could have figured out the cap. We did a lot of cap exercises that year, not needing to extend Kirk Cousins, at least until you wanted to like make room for a Dalvin Cook extension or whatever. So there you go. Not really like a bold like take on this offseason. I guess I could convert that into a bold take, which is the Vikings kind of made their bed and they are out of the quarterback market. They are not going to try to get a quarterback in the first round unless Trevor Lawrence falls to them or whatever. Like, barring crazy extenuating circumstances, they will not be in the quarterback market. They're not going to trade Cousins unless somebody blows them away. They're not going to do a tag and trade for Dak Prescott like I did in the blow it all up offseason, although that would be super sick. The Vikings are not going to do what you want them to do at quarterback. They're just going to try to compete again in 2021, and you're just going to have to like that. So there you go. Some sourness to hold you over until we talk tomorrow on Wednesday. We'll keep talking about free agency stuff. In the meantime, you can find me on Twitter at LukeBraunNFL. Show's on Twitter at LockedOnVikings. Links in the show notes for all different places you can come interact. And as always, Skol.